It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we're examining what's behind the long delay in opening the new state penitentiary in Fort Madison. It was supposed to open about a year ago, but there have been problems with heating and cooling, as well as the system for ventilating smoke out of the prison, and that has delayed the opening indefinitely. Most recently, officials have been worrying about frozen pipes in our cold winter. All this is adding, of course, to the project's ballooning budget. Joyce Russell is with me from the Law Library at the State Capitol. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
We contacted the Iowa Department of Corrections for this show. They said they couldn't provide anybody for today's show, but I wanted to go through and listen with you a few comments made by that you recorded of the retired director of the Iowa Department of Corrections from a few weeks ago. He told, let's listen to these and then have you catch us up to date on the latest. He told the legislature a few weeks ago that they're very disappointed and very sorry the project is so far behind the schedule.
This is my 30th construction project with the Iowa Department of Corrections. We have brought every one of those, except this one, in on time and on budget, some under, which is a rare event in government, I believe. And we did not expect this type of issue at Fort Madison. We clearly have issues down there. We should have been in about a year ago. We trained staff. We had ribbon cuttings. We trained staff like crazy. And we still are not open.
Okay. Former Director Baldwin also pointed out that even when the correction system gets a permit of occupancy and are cleared to move prisoners, there will be a delay to retrain staff.
Once the certificate of occupancy is in our hands, it will be about 2 to 3 months before we occupy. You may ask why. We have to retrain staff. We cannot expect staff to go in there 15, 16, 18 months after we train them and expect them to function in a very high-tech environment without a retraining period.
Okay. Joyce Russell, you were there with John Baldwin, the retired director of the Iowa Department of Corrections. Give us the latest about the delay. What do we know?
Well, a bit of an update from Janet Phipps, who is the new pending Senate confirmation. She's the new director of the Department of Administrative Services. She said that the geothermal she essentially confirmed what Director Baldwin said earlier in the session. The geothermal problems are corrected. There continues to be a problem with ventilation. But as you said, that there's more recently there have been an issue with frozen pipes in the new prison, and that's leading some people to question, well, are the geothermal problems corrected yet or not? So the latest prediction from Director Baldwin was from that appearance before the legislature, which he hoped would be at the end of the summer. And I haven't heard anything to update that.
Mm-hmm. Joyce, quickly give us a little history lesson, and we have to go back quite a bit in history. Why do we need a new penitentiary here in Iowa? Why was it deemed necessary?
Well, it's a very old institution, for one thing, but the push to replace it with a new prison happened in November of 2005 when two dangerous convicts scaled a limestone wall. They were later recaptured in Illinois and Missouri. I don't think it hurts to point out now that most of these more than 700 inmates are serving life sentences for violent crimes. And so that kind of got the ball rolling to start a new prison. It was initiated during the Culver administration. And sort of obliquely, the governor's people are kind of trying to push it back on that. They say the governor is disappointed that the design of the prison has caused delays. And more than once, the spokesman has pointed out it occurred under the previous administration. Well, it's true. The prison got started under the Culver administration.
Yeah. Obviously, no one wants to be tarred with this, which is, I guess, reached sort of debacle state. I guess we could almost measure it in that terms. Joyce, let's welcome a couple of people there with you at the Law Library at the State Capitol, a couple of lawmakers. Representative Bobby Kaufman is with us from Wilton, Iowa, representing Iowa's 73rd House District, chair of the Iowa House Government Oversight Committee. Representative Kaufman, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Representative Vicki Lensing from Iowa City of Iowa's 85th House District, a ranking member of the House State Government Committee. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, Representative Kaufman, I understand you toured the new prison in January. What was it like then?
We toured both the old and the new prison. Once I was tasked with looking into this issue, I felt that it was best for me to have viewed it firsthand. So we first got to tour through the old prison to see why the new one was needed. And then after that, we toured through the new prison.
In touring the new prison, did you have any inkling, any idea of what was to come? As far as the problems?
No, and I'd go further than you're calling it a debacle, and I was quoted the other day as calling it a boondoggle, which I think is equally accurate.
Boondoggle, debacle. We'll have to look in our favorite reference material to see which is worse, I guess. So what did you see in that first visit that gave you an idea that there would be problems specifically?
Well, I saw a need for a new prison in visiting the old, and in visiting the new, I saw a facility that really needs to be full of prisoners. I saw a facility that is beautiful, state of the art, modern, one of its kind, and the fact that it's uninhabited is just completely unacceptable. What was the biggest concern is the problems that have been creeping up as of recent. It's beyond amazing that we have a new problem with potential frozen pipes, and issues like that were not anything that came up during our tour.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lensing, when did you start talking about the problems at the new prison? What were the concerns?
Well, I was with Bobby on the tour.
Oh, you were?
And
I'm sorry.
There was a group of us, and so some of them had been working on it longer than certainly Representative Kaufman and I. It came to our attention because it didn't get open. I think we were certainly aware that the grand opening came and went and it didn't happen. And I don't think until we really started reading about it in the newspaper, we realized all of the problems. So when we were on our tour, of course, we asked questions about the geothermal and we asked questions about their small ventilation system, which to our knowledge were the big problems then. It is a huge campus, and I understand when you talk about having to retrain staff, there's a lot that makes that prison work. We're just very sorry that there are things keeping it from working. And I think our frustration on the Oversight Committee is it seems like every day something new pops up that we were not aware of till we read it in the newspaper. But also it seems like the director is also not aware that these potential problems could have popped up.
Go ahead, Joy, I'm just going to jump here
with a question. Representative Lensing, the call for this oversight investigation of the prison came, as we've said, from Speaker Paulson directing the majority person on the Oversight Committee to do this. You're the minority person. Do you feel like that the call for the investigation was appropriate? Do you agree that you should be investigating this?
Absolutely. When you look at the amount of tax dollars went into the building of this prison, and that it was supposed to have been open somewhere around 18 months ago, and it hasn't yet. And now we're watching as more money is being poured into it to correct things that shouldn't have happened. And so I think our joint frustration on the committee, and we tend to work on the Oversight Committee in a bipartisan manner. We've investigated things in the past. And so I think our job is I would say, not necessarily our goal to point fingers right now, but to get the place open. But that means asking a lot of questions to understand why we're not there.
One of your colleagues even put this, I think when it was originally reported, the budget would be something like $130, $132 million, now up to $166. A colleague there in the House of Representatives puts it now could hit up to $200 million. Bobby Kaufman, do you know what the cost will be in the end, or is that even not clear?
It's not clear. We've had several different accounts of several different situations and several different costs, and what the receipts are going to look like in addition are some of the questions that I've been that I've asked and that I expect answers to. So I don't have a number for you right now, but I think we all know that it's rapidly increasing.
All these distressing problems, the heating, the cooling, now the ventilation system in case of for smoke, and now the concern about freezing water pipes. Representative Lansing, do you have a feeling that this all has a common source, namely the contractor or the design? How can all these things happen all together and not be sort of rooted together?
Well, I think we have to go back in time and try and understand some of the players that were at the beginning were not there through the entire project. So I think some of our questions, and I think the documents we're asking for, is to help us understand who was in charge when. And so there was, and the terms they use are not quite the same. I think we're struggling with the vocabulary sometimes, because what we would call a general contractor, and they have project managers. And so just the vocabulary, so we're talking about the same things, but understanding who was responsible for what, and then when they left, who stepped in. But I think what's pressing is for us to understand, if DAS was the state agency in charge, did they know about all of these changes and potential problems? And if there were change orders, did they see that? And did they have someone who was there every day or every week to check in on the progress? And did they do tests on some of these systems to make sure that they did or didn't work? And when did that happen? And if things got changed in the process, who authorized those? And again, I don't know that we're actually wanting to blame. We're just wanting to understand so we can get the place opened.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lansing, you said you're asking for documents. Representative Lansing and Representative Kaufman, are they forthcoming?
We hope so.
We are working in conjuncture as a committee. I agree with Representative Lansing's assessment that we're a bipartisan committee. That's the direction that I intend to take us. And so the questions that were submitted were accumulation of all of our curiosities, and I've asked that they be answered this week.
And I think, according to the director, when she came before us, indicated that there were boxes of documents. So hopefully some of our answers are in the papers in those boxes.
And to what extent are you constrained by the fact that legal action against someone, or at least a pursuit of damages from whether it's a contractor or architect or whoever, the fact that the Attorney General's office is working with the Department of Corrections on that issue, does that constrain you in any way that there's potential legal action in the background?
Well, I intend on continuing to communicate with the, with the Attorney General's office. And it's certainly not my intentions, I don't believe anyone on the committee's intentions, to jeopardize any sort of mediation, litigation, et cetera, that would allow the state to recoup funds. So within those confines, I'm okay with, I can't answer this question because of legal issues, but outside of that excuse, there really isn't one to not provide all the other information.
And who's going to look through all those boxes?
Representative Dawn Pettengill has offered.
I'm wondering here too, if I can jump in, that we want to see, if it's faulty construction, but we have Walsh Construction of Chicago wanting an additional $20 million. Far from saying they did a faulty job, they want more money. How does that fit into this story, Representative Kaufman?
It fits into this story as yet another wrinkle in an ever-growing problem. And I intend on exploring all options, including looking into how can a person who's partially or majority responsible for constructing something that's so clearly a colossal mess up expect an additional $20 million.
I think we agreed on boondoggle.
Boondoggle. I like it.
Or debacle. Those are competing names here.
So a boondoggle debacle.
Will taxpayers inevitably be left on the hook for this expense, Representative Lansing?
I think that's a tricky question, and I think that's part of why the Attorney General is looking into it in terms of who is responsible when, and if they didn't fulfill their duties, and if there were changes made, was that on the state's tab, or who authorized those? So ultimately, it's a huge investment by the taxpayers right now. And I think when we hear the price tag going up, our question is, and whose dime is that? And that's, I think, what Representative Kaufman was talking about. We're not sure yet.
Mm. I wanted to have you listen to some more words that Joyce recorded of the retired director of the Iowa Department of Corrections, John Baldwin. We're a long ways from, I guess, at the point where you would learn lessons from this. But John Baldwin, when he spoke before the legislature, he was asked what the state can do to avoid a situation like this in the future. And let's listen.
To be honest, we were intensely smug at the quality of people that bid our projects. If you'll remember, we bid these during a fairly rough economic time. We had people bidding on our projects who would not normally, I mean, Iowa was a truly flyover state for some of, the, of these firms, so we really felt fortunate. I've thought about that. We've discussed it for months, and we don't have a really good answer for Representative Taylor. I'm sorry. It followed state law. Look, how many buildings has this state built? And there's been very, very few problems following the same sort of format. I wish I could succinctly say in a minute or two if there was some magic wand. I don't know what that is, and I truly do not know.
Retired director of Iowa Department of Corrections, John Baldwin. So can you say, Representative Kaufman, are there lessons that you can already pull from this, even though there's a lot of investigating ahead of you?
I think transparency going forward on projects like these is going to be necessary, because if everything were all open and able to be examined and reviewed, I think we could have avoided a lot of this. It's just amazing that these problems are occurring at this time. I mean, I still wouldn't appreciate them, but I could see them cropping up in the construction with the immediately aftermath thereof in tests and subsequent examinations. But for these to be popping up in February of 2015 is just flat out preposterous.
Mm-hmm. Joyce Russell, what's on your mind as you look at this issue?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, you talked about these boxes of documents. That's at the Department of Administrative Services. We've heard about boxes of documents from the Department of Administrative Services more than once in the past with other issues at that department. Is the Department of Administrative Services sort of the target of your investigation then?
I wouldn't call them the target as much as I would call them the biggest source of information.
Uh-huh.
I think we would have liked to have thought some of these documents were digitized. The thought of boxes of paper documents to go through is a little overwhelming, but I think if that's where the answers are, then that's where we need to go.
And it's not your job to answer this question because you're in the House and not in the Senate, but is there the possibility that this could figure into Janet Phipps's confirmation in the Senate, Representative Kaufman?
I wouldn't be comfortable speaking for any senator's vote.
Okay. So what happens now in the coming weeks with the investigation, Representatives Lensing and Kaufman? Give us an idea of what you will be looking for in the coming weeks.
Well, Representative Kaufman has sent a list of questions and also a request of documents, which the committee put together. And I think that's to clarify, when the director was in, we asked her for documents, but I think now they're in written form coming from the Oversight Committee. So I think that it will be the information we get from that that will lead us in who knows what direction, but hopefully we'll have a little more information than we have today.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that assessment. Once we get the answers to what was an extensive list of questions, I think that'll give the committee direction, and it'll give us a basic knowledge set on where to go forward with.
Any idea on how long this will take to unravel? Do you see it in terms of weeks, months, perhaps years?
I would certainly not hope years, but I also, if you had asked me a week ago, if I had expected there to be a new issue, I would have resoundingly said no. So again, my goal here is not some sort of a witch hunt. My goal here is to get the prison open, and so getting these issues fixed is top priority.
Representative Lensing, one issue that came up at that hearing with Director Baldwin was some concern expressed that with these rising costs that was going to come out of the agency budget and would have a detrimental effect on staffing at the prison. They already have a slowdown in staffing for other reasons. Director Baldwin gave a very strong assurance that it's not, those two things are separate, and it's not going to affect the overall operating budget of the prisons. Are you confident of that?
Well, I think that's why at our last meeting we had committee members from the Justice Budget Committee there, because I think where our committee is not in charge of budgeting, they're certainly interested on dollars spent, dollars that are continuing to be spent, and then whatever they're budgeting for this budget session for next time going out further, who's covering the costs?
And that comes out of largely infrastructure budget?
It can come from many sources, but yeah, that would definitely be a part of it.
What's it like for the staff and the administrators at the penitentiary? This is quite a hardship, is it not, Representative Kaufman?
Yes, I mean, I'll have to commend staff. They're operating in the old prison with an oven that currently is so ancient that they don't make the parts for it anymore. So they're having to have machinists make the parts for any breakdowns in this new oven. And in fact, a lot of times they're busing a lot of the food from the new prison where they make it to the old prison. So I think the staff is doing a great job of handling the situation that they've been given.
Okay. Final thoughts from any of you as we finish up this hour? We have a few seconds left.
I think frustration, and I think patience. I think right now it's very frustrating as we hear about all the things that are not fitting into place, and yet if we're patient, I'm hoping we find the answers and can get the prison opened.
Okay.
I would agree.
Representatives Vicki Lensing from Iowa City and Bobby Kaufman of Wilton, thank you very much for coming into the Law Library. Thank you, Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio Statehouse correspondent.
Thank you, Ben.
And coming up on our next program tomorrow, the Jordan Aquifer. Have you heard of that? It's the largest source of Iowa's groundwater, provides water to our homes as well as much of the state's agriculture and industry. And we're hearing now from experts that are warning our current usage of rates of water in this deep underground reservoir are unsustainable. We'll explore that tomorrow. Worries about the future of the Jordan Aquifer. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. We had help today from John Pemble as well. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.